Hello, and welcome to the final part of my podcast, Part 19 of All About Antarctica. I'm Dr. Steve Emsley, and I'm a professor in the Department of Biology and Marine Biology at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, where I've been teaching an undergraduate class titled Antarctic Ecology, Geology, History, and Policy. In this podcast, I have distilled this class down into numerous parts that cover all these topics about Antarctica. Part 19, presented here, is on Antarctica and the future. Throughout this podcast, we have traced the history of Antarctica from its geologic origins, its earliest discovery and the first people to set foot there, to the first research stations and into the modern world. Even though Antarctica has been impacted throughout the past 120 years from research stations, tourism, and external anthropogenic factors such as climate change and pollution, it still remains the most remote and pristine place on Earth, an extreme environment so relatively few people visit it. In all the times I've been to Antarctica since 1991, I have never gotten tired of going there, and I'm always seeing and learning something new each time. One of the greatest threats to Antarctica today is from global warming. Since 1991, I have seen glaciers retreat hundreds of meters in the northern Antarctic Peninsula, where the warming trend is most severe. Ice shelves that have been in place since Antarctica was first mapped and explored are now breaking up for the first time and drifting away. The glacial melt is adding to sea level rise worldwide, and will continue to do so for many years into the future. Emperor penguins, now losing their sea ice breeding sites, are in decline and recently were listed as threatened by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Fisheries continue to apply pressure to the limited marine resources there, despite the establishment of marine protected areas. It's not all bad news, though. Adelie penguins, while declining in the Antarctic Peninsula, are doing well and even increasing in numbers in East Antarctica, where the warming trend has not been as severe. Gentoo penguins have expanded southward in the peninsula due to their adaptations to warmer climates and open water, conditions becoming more favorable to them in this region. Whale and seal populations are on the rebound, and increasing numbers are seen in Antarctica each year. Scientific studies by all treaty nations have increased our knowledge considerably on the diversity of species in Antarctica, a first step in helping to conserve them. As world population continues to grow, pressure to exploit the abundance of natural resources in Antarctica also will grow. Currently, the Antarctic Treaty protects these resources and the entire continent for peaceful purposes only. There are now 56 nations that have acceded to the Antarctic Treaty, 29 of which are consultative or have voting rights for any amendments to the treaty. More countries join every year, with Costa Rica signing on in 2022, and the small nation of San Marino this year in 2023. The treaty will never expire, but if one country pulled out of the treaty and started to exploit resources there, it would lead to conflict and sanctions against that country. Those types of disputes are at odds with what Dwight D. Eisenhower envisioned for Antarctica, and hopefully they won't occur. But you, the audience to this podcast, now knowing so much more about this continent, can help make a difference by becoming an ambassador for Antarctica, supporting the treaty, and making sure government officials in your own country know and understand the importance of this treaty. Recently, China announced that it would be constructing satellite ground stations at its Zhangjiang station in East Antarctica, and the U.S. is concerned that these stations could be used for surveillance and eventual deployment of laser weapons in space, thereby breaking the treaty guidelines. I hope that this is not true. For as many years as I've worked closely with Chinese scientists in the field in Antarctica, I have found that they are good people, dedicated to their research, and we have collaborated on many publications. At the government level, though, there are these other concerns, and I wish we could have a space treaty modeled after the Antarctic Treaty that would have all nations agree that outer space be used for peaceful purposes only as well. Wouldn't that be amazing? Thank you for listening to my podcast, All About Antarctica. I'm Dr. Steve Emsley of the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and if you have enjoyed this podcast, please consider donating to my Ornithology Trust Fund at my university, a fund I dedicate to supporting undergraduate research in the field and laboratory to initiate new research projects that otherwise cannot be funded, and to help get students involved and excited about science and advancing their knowledge to help conserve wildlife. You can find a link to this fund and how to donate online at www.uncw.edu/penguins. Donations from U.S. citizens are tax-deductible, and even small donations of $10 or $20 will help. Thank you.